Let's go to Israel right now. We promised that we were going to have a time of conversation with Winky Medad. He lives in a place called Shiloh. It's the center part of the state of Israel. We're going to be talking with Winky. The area of Judea and Samaria, it's the area that is north of Jerusalem and would be south of the Sea of Galilee, basically. And it is an area that is under much debate between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and in fact, the rest of the world. They believe that this is a piece of real estate that should be a Palestinian state. The Jewish people believe that this is land that God has given them and a promise he made to them that he is in the process of fulfilling right now. But am I correct, Judea and Samaria, for those geographical locations, and why do they refer to it as the West Bank sometime?
As you said, the territory that I live in right now, while not under full Israeli sovereignty, is, of course, part of the Jewish national homeland that's been promised to us not only by God, which is enough for most of us, I would think, but also by the nations of the world throughout the 20th and 21st centuries. And so we have no compunctions about living here and trying to develop the land. Unfortunately, residents here, after a conquest in the 7th century, when we did not have any more political or even military power, claimed to be not only the ones who should be the sovereign power, but last week in Munich, Germany, claimed to be the original inhabitants of this area. I'm talking about the Mr. Saeb Erekat, who called himself a Natufian. Jimmy, I had to go to the dictionary to find out that one, and I think that anybody, including a Mr. John Kerry, who is dealing with the peace process, who can try to bring a Mr. Saeb Erekat, who calls himself a Natufian, together with us, is going to have a lot of trouble. It's just two narratives, one supported by history, God, and archaeology, and another one that's completely made up, invented history. And when you start from there, I don't know where we're going to end up.
Well, let me define that for those eavesdropping on the conversation a little bit. Of course, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, endeavoring to try to put the peace process back on track between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Saeb Erekat, who was the chief negotiator for the Palestinians. And John Kerry has come under fire because of some of the statements that he's made that if Israel does not go along with his plan for peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, they're going to be boycotted. That's a terrible word when you talk to Jewish people. But he's much concerned about this area of Judea and Samaria, and he says that it dates back to the 7th century. No, I just said at the beginning when I was introducing Winky, it dates back 3,500 years ago when Joshua brought the children of Israel into the Promised Land and set up the headquarters for the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant right there in Shiloh itself. Again, you didn't mention, though, why is it called the West Bank by some people?
Back in 1947, the United Nations offered a partition plan which the Arabs rejected. They lost the war they launched against us in 1948. Jordan, at that time still called Transjordan, actually, moved into the area and made it part of their kingdom, annexing it in 1950, and declared that he is joining the two banks. One is the East Bank of the Jordan River, and the other one is the West Bank. That's when the term first actually came into political geographical usage. It's a made-up term. It reflects an illegal occupation by Jordan, which took away the rights of the Arabs to rule themselves in that area. They never set up a state by themselves. And so, again, I refer to you in my first answer, it's another invented type of narrative that they sort of sanctify, if I can use that word, in a secular sense or a political sense, and claim to be some sort of a state that doesn't exist. However, as you and I know, Jimmy, because we're a little bit older than some other people, we can remember before 67, there was no occupation, there was no settlement, so-called, and yet there was no peace because the Arabs were still trying to get at us in the 49 armistice line borders that was called at the time the Green Line. So the settlements or the occupation have nothing to do with Arab hostility to the Jewish state. And if he thinks that simply by dismantling communities or recognizing Arab sovereignty in Judea and Samaria, he's going to get peace, he's not solving the basic problem. I think we've also discussed this several times here about the non-recognition of Arabs, of Jews having any national rights.
Well, that is one of the issues, of course, on the whole process. Prime Minister Netanyahu making this statement that if the Palestinians will not recognize a Jewish right to have a state in the Middle East, end of discussion, basically the process is dead. Ultimately, God is going to have his will because he promised this piece of real estate. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 22, he says, I do this not for Israel's sake, but for my holy name's sake. And when God could swear by nothing greater, he said, I'm going to give this land back to the Jewish people. Ultimate bottom line, you have to have that land because God has made the promise. But there's probably going to be some problems before that is totally fulfilled. Would you not agree?
I think we're still in a process of having our neighbors recognize who we are. I would put it to you, Jimmy, that there's no better place for Arabs, whether they're Muslim or Christian, except under Israel's sovereignty. I see what's happening to these minorities across the Middle East. They're in danger. Our scientific, our health, and industry is the best for all, and I think that that should be the solution. That's what God had planned, and I think that's what we're doing as men, very much so. And I would suggest to all that that would be the solution.
Wow. Suggest to all that go back to the Word of God and see what God's plan is for that piece of real estate. Winky, thank you for allowing us to interrupt your soup making, that chicken soup that you're, I can almost smell it over the microphone here, but I'm sure it's going to be good. But thank you for letting us interrupt you, and thank you so much for giving us insights today.
Jimmy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you and our listeners.